Follow me,
Physician Nan Shin whispered.
And ask no questions.
Moonlight drifted as quietly as falling snow, illuminating the pavilion roofs and the animal-shaped statues that lined the swooping eaves. Floor lanterns spilled golden light across the frosted courtyards and against the lattice labyrinth of doors and windows. Silence reigned, except for the distant ring of the great bell, echoing through the capital and rumbling over Chungdok Palace. By the 28th ring, the palace gates would be bolted shut for the night. As soon as the royal physician turned his back to us, Jian and I exchanged wide-eyed stares.
Isn't our shift over? She mouthed. Shouldn't we be permitted to return home?
I flicked a nervous glance at the physician.
This is very odd, I replied.
But what did we know of what was odd or unusual? We were both new to our positions as Ne Uinyos, nurses handpicked to serve in the palace.
There isn't a moment to spare.
The royal physician sounded breathless as he quickened his steps, his hands gathered within wide sleeves. His blue silk robe billowed like waves in a storm, his long apron as white as foam frothing atop a crashing sea.
We must hurry.
Jian and I hastened our steps accordingly, our long shadows stretched out, of her holding a tray and me a lantern. We kept quiet this time, when normally we would have complained about our growling stomachs or our limbs tired from working all day. Things were different in the palace. No one acted like children here. Even royal children behaved like solemn and anxious elders. In long and quick strides, we left the royal apothecary, located in the eastern corner of the palace, and traveled in a line from courtyard to courtyard, the sound of the great bell rolling after us. It tolled, slowly and repeatedly, for the 26th, 27th, and finally, the 28th time. I could almost hear the main gates rumbling shut. It would be impossible to leave the palace now. Uneasiness settled into my bones, and the warnings I'd been given echoed through my mind.
To enter the palace means to walk a path stained in blood,
our medical teachers had whispered.
There will be bloodshed. I only hope it will not be yours.
The further south we traveled, the more deserted it became, until we were easily 4 li away from where I knew most of the royals dwelled, at least a half hour's walk. The shadows swamping the empty pavilions grew darker and darker. The fall of snow was no longer pocked with blue footprints, but untouched. Then, at last, we passed through a guarded gate and entered a courtyard illuminated by lanterns. In the center lay a square lily pond, its frozen water reflecting the round, luminous moon and the black ridges of the Guardian Mountain. I'd never come this way before. A grand pavilion stood before the courtyard, a building with a long row of hanji-screened windows, rows of towering pillars, and an elaborate black-tiled roof. The wooden plaque hanging under the eaves read, Joseong Pavilion, the main house in the Dongguncheon compound. The residence of the Crown Prince himself. I had never seen the Crown Prince before, but I had heard gloomy whispers about Prince Changhun. When he was born, it is said that the king, usually known for his rigid stoicism, had nearly tripped over his robe in his haste to hold his son, a most beautiful son and his only surviving heir. The king had fallen so in love with the child that he'd rushed to formally establish him as the crown prince, a status that had come with a price. At only 100 days old, the infant prince had been pulled from his mother's embrace and moved to Joseong Pavilion to be raised completely by strangers in an isolated part of the palace, so far away from his parents that, after a while, he'd only seen them once a year. Now there were disturbing rumors about the neglected prince.
The time will come soon, I'd overheard a palace nurse say once, when the crown prince will be put to death, either by the hands of the old doctrine faction or his own father.
Whispers that had immediately clamped into silence at the sight of Qian and me, for we were new to the palace.
Come.
I blinked, my attention returning to Physician Nan Shin. He gestured at us to quicken our pace further. We did so,
following him past a row of court ladies, unmoving like statues. One young woman, however, watched us from under her lashes. Our eyes met, then her gaze quickly dropped. And yet, I still felt as though we were being watched by 1,000 more eyes. My pulse beat as I set aside my lantern. We made our way up the steps onto the terrace, then into the pavilion, where tiered wooden doors slid open, one by one, drawn by servants who moved as quietly as shadows, ushering us deeper until we reached the inner quarter. We were met by a eunuch, his face pale and fraught with distress.
"I know your day is over, Uiwanim," the eunuch whispered to the physician. "But it is urgent. The prince is in need of your assistance."